You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome into First Take on this Friday Eve. Stephen A. Smith, Max Kellerman, I'm Molly Camrose. I need you guys to give a round of applause. It is National Nurses Day. Can we please give it up and celebrate them today and thank them for all their service and sacrifice during this pandemic, distributing the vaccine?
On a serious note. And obviously, nurses are near and dear to my heart. My mom was a registered nurse for 25 years.
Oh, I didn't know she was a nurse.
She was a registered nurse for 25
years. Like her even more.
At Queens General Hospital in Queens, New York.
Wow. Wow. You get Stephen A. to start telling stories about his mother sometime.
Yeah.
That was incredible
woman. Ordinary woman. Yep.
Yep. All right. Speaking of tumultuous times, though, Aaron Rodgers, I've got updates, folks. Buckle up. So Rodgers taking shots at Packers GM Brian Gutekunst, comparing him to the late Bulls owner Jerry Krause in text to teammates. Krause was portrayed very harshly, remember, during last year's 10-part documentary, The Last Dance. It's fantastic if you haven't seen it. Regarding the franchise that won 6 championships in the NBA, Rodgers reportedly wants Gutekunst fired. Max.
Yeah.
Are these jabs by Rodgers fair or foul?
Not only are they fair, they're apt. It's a really good analogy. It's a good comparison, rather. I mean, look, first of all, it doesn't escape my attention. I know it didn't escape yours, Molly.
Yeah.
Stephen A., he's calling himself Michael Jordan in this situation, right? If his GM is Jerry Krause, then Aaron Rodgers is Michael Jordan. And he's right. He is an irreplaceable superstar who is more responsible for the team's success than anyone. He's unbelievable. Till Patrick Mahomes came along, there's never been anyone like Aaron Rodgers. But we know why he's saying it. He means it. He's dissing him. He's saying, like, you have alienated Michael Jordan. Congratulations. You're now Jerry Krause. What he may or may not realize he's also saying, I mean, Jerry Krause built the dynasty. Jerry Krause surrounded Michael Jordan with the right pieces and won 6 championships. He was the architect of it. Does it happen without Michael Jordan? Of course not. Michael Jordan's more responsible than anyone. But Jerry Krause was also partly responsible for that dynasty. He built it, even hired the coach, Phil Jackson. Let's look at what Gutekunst has done, right? They were stagnating. They were even regressing because Mike McCarthy, the league seemed to have passed him by. Rodgers clearly didn't want him there anymore. What'd he do? He went out and got Matt LaFleur. Like a Phil Jackson hires an assistant originally, that's like Matt LaFleur. Stephen A., you were gigging on his name for how long, right? Like, where did he come from? Boy, he skipped some levels here. Matt LaFleur, under him, they won 13 games consecutive years. NFC Championship consecutive years. If you look at the roster construction, the Packers are one of the best teams in football. Just like the Bulls. Is that mainly because of Michael Jordan, Aaron Rodgers? Yes. But the rest of the roster is excellent. He's done a very good job as the architect of the team. So that's part of being Jerry Krause. And the other part is, don't alienate Michael Jordan, dummy. Don't alienate Aaron Rodgers. I think it's totally fair.
I don't necessarily disagree with you, but I just felt differently about what I heard. First of all, when you're going to bring up Jerry Krause and Gutekunst, I mean, Gutekunst wish he could be Jerry Krause. Jerry Krause is a 6-time champion. God rest his soul. He passed away in 2017. He's a 6-time champion. He's a 2-time executive of the year. And let's analyze the things that happened, that he did. First of all, he did not draft Michael Jordan. That would be Rod Thorne,
right,
the former senior VP, used to run the Nets, used to run Philly. Obviously, he was in the league office. My buddy loved Rod Thorne, okay? He's the one that drafted Michael Jordan. Let's make sure we point that out. That's number one. But number two, when you think about Jerry Krause, he drafted Scottie Pippen. Obviously, had Horace Grant there. Obviously, got rid of Doug Collins, brought in Phil Jackson. Okay, all of those things are true. Okay, went out and got Dennis Rodman when you needed him after Jordan came out of retirement. The Steve Kerrs, the John Paxsons, the B.J. Armstrongs of the world.
Missing a big
list
one.
Coach, mm-hmm. Bill Wennington, Stacy K. All of these guys, you know, did a Bill Cartwright. You remember, he traded Charles Oakley for Bill Cartwright. All of that stuff. This is what Jerry Krause did. where when I hear the name Jerry Krause and you're talking about Gutekunst, here's what you have to take into consideration. It wasn't just about alienating Jordan. He alienated Jordan because of the decisions he was making surrounding Jordan. See, Krause offended Jordan because Jordan was a guy that wanted to come back from injury, wanted to play, and Krause tried to tell him, you know, you're going to do what we tell you to do, and you don't roll at my man MJ like that. That's our problem, okay? So that's one point where there's some similarities there. Here's the other one. This is not a similarity, actually. When you look at the fact that this is where Jerry Krause gets excoriated, because you had a team that could win, and as we learned during The Last Dance, even though we already knew, they thought they could go for a seventh. But you had announced before they captured the sixth, they were gone. You didn't care whether they were winning. Yeah. You didn't care how successful they were. In this particular instance, you haven't enjoyed that success. So Aaron Rodgers is trying to get to a level MJ and the Bulls were already at when Krause ruined everything because he wanted to start anew, even though they were still winning. Gutekunst and Matt LaFleur and those boys, they ain't won no championship.
Take an analogy too literally, of course, you're right.
I'm taking it literally because of Rodgers.
No, excuse me. I need to get in here and something based on what you said, Max, because you agree that he alienated the star, Aaron Rodgers, Michael Jordan, but you said Gutekunst was part of building this team. But you always rave about guys like Bakhtiari and Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams, Aaron Jones. He didn't bring any of them in.
But he did bring in the coach in. He did bring the coach in. He did address some things on the defense. He's had a couple of good drafts. Like, they're strong. Since he got there, hired a new coach, 13 wins NFC Championship game.
Let me stop you by asking you a question.
But he didn't create the core of the team is my point.
Hold on real quick, because I want to get to this point. You're making it literal. Like, it's not exactly perfect, but I'll say in the big picture it is, Stephen A., because basically Krause was moving on. Krause looked at the team. They were aging. He's moving on. And what really precipitated this? What was the breaking point? Gutekunst was moving on. He drafted Aaron Rodgers' replacement. Mm-hmm. That's where it was like, okay. Oh, wait a minute.
Okay.
I'm not done.
Okay, that's fine. I really don't care about that point. Here's the point that I care about, and it's in a question to you. And I'm going to ask this question because they won 13-3. They went 13-3 the last 2 years. I'm going to ask you a legitimate question. What has Matt LaFleur done?
Went to two NFC Championship games.
Gutekunst did. In terms of when you're talking about the last 2 years, what I'm saying to you is this. Matt LaFleur was the offensive coordinator of the 27th ranked Tennessee Titans. Somehow got the job. Okay? And you inherited Aaron Rodgers. People keep forgetting in 2017 and 2018 when they went 7-9 and 6-9-1, Aaron Rodgers was hurt both years. 1 year he was out, another year he played hurt. He wasn't healthy. And so when he comes back healthy, I'm making the proclamation that Aaron Rodgers is that offense. Aaron Rodgers is the reason.
About 2019.
So I'm looking at, again, when we talk about he hired a new coach.
Yeah.
He hired a new coach. I'm saying with a guy like Mike McCarthy and what have you, and we know even we've decried his archaic tendencies with Dallas last year. But what was that offense like before Dak Prescott went down? The offense was elite. So what I'm saying to you is that you can make a legitimate argument based on what you saw Aaron Rodgers do years before LaFleur ever arrived, okay, that Aaron Rodgers is going to be Aaron Rodgers. And that's the reason that offense is what it is. I'm looking at what Matt LaFleur has done, and I'm saying I can't knock the record. The record is the record. But when we compartmentalize and look at Gutekunst or Matt LaFleur and the kind of pieces that he brought in on the defensive side of the ball, special teams, whatever you want to call it, the bottom line is I can make an argument that, hey, he might have something to do with that.
Well,
than LaFleur.
Listen, you could have said the same thing about Doug Collins. But meantime, he brought in Phil Jackson, Krause did, and Phil Jackson said his coaching career was dead. It was saved by Jerry Krause. It's not a there's no such thing as a perfect analogy.
Came from the CBA.
The broad strokes are there. The broad strokes are singularly talented superstar, mm-hmm. right? Team built around him successfully, it seems, by a GM who nevertheless, probably at least a year too soon, but at any rate too soon, wanted to move on, alienated the superstar. It works. It's a good, I think it's, put it this way, Stephen A., fair or foul? I say foul.
And you think the MJ comparison is also foul? Aaron Rodgers to MJ?
Yeah, of course. You only got one ring.
All right.
You don't get to have comparisons to MJ when you only have one ring. Now, if you got three, I'll listen. But you got to have at least three
not the
to be in the
Jordan
same conversation as Michael Jordan.
He's not the Michael Jordan of football. He's not the Michael Jordan of football, but that's a pretty good analogy. It's pretty good, guys. All right. Works.
There is more to the story. So according to NFL Network, Rodgers was telling free agent that he wants out of Green Bay, texting that as well. So, Max, at this point, do you think the Packers look worse or Aaron Rodgers looks worse and how this whole thing is playing out in front of the media?
The Packers look worse. Of course the Packers look worse because the Packers have failed to realize something I've been hitting recently. The NFL has made the quarterback position so important that at the, you know, you could put plot any population on a bell curve, right? Mm-hmm. On the extreme end, you get a handful of the extraordinary, right? Extraordinarily good, extraordinarily bad. Most people fall in the middle. Aaron Rodgers is, along with Patrick Mahomes and Tom Brady, I got to give it up, those guys are extraordinarily excellent at a position now that has such disproportional effect on the fortunes of your team that those guys are now the boss in a way that the NFL teams don't realize because it hasn't been that way in the past. They're the boss. Just like it took Dan Gilbert a minute to realize, oh, I thought I owned the team, but LeBron James is my boss. If he tells me to do something and I don't do it, I'm in trouble. I'm going to lose him. He calls the shots. LeBron called the shots, which is why Dan Gilbert had to come hat in hand apologizing, basically, right? Okay, Houston Rockets. Mm-hmm. Fertitta at first didn't understand, wait, there's no resisting Harden. If James Harden tells us he wants to be traded to that team, we have no choice. We got to trade him. Same thing in the NFL. Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers are the shot callers. They will tell the teams what to do, and it's not that the teams, they'll do it or else. They have no choice. If Aaron Rodgers says, trade me there, what, are you not going to trade him there? You think another team is going to give you all these draft picks and everything, knowing he's going to be disgruntled there? Well, force him to sit out. You don't have to sit out to get what he wants. You mean to tell me you want to go to war, you want to go into a season with a quarterback who doesn't want to be there, and you think you have a Super Bowl roster, you think you're going to win a Super Bowl with a disgruntled quarterback? Not going to happen. So what you will see happens now is the Packers will trade him, and they'll trade him to where he tells them to trade him. So, like, who looks worse now? Rodgers, who's calling shots? Or the Packers, who have failed to realize the era in which they exist right now? Packers look worse.
Packers look worse. They've been looking worse. But Aaron Rodgers doesn't look good at all. And the reason why he doesn't look good is because my man, who's that bad man, looks weak. You cannot have stories leaking out that you want a GM fired and go in the hiding and we can't find you. You cannot do that. That looks weak.
Fair point.
That looks weak. And so when you look at the Green Bay Packers right now, say what you want about them, but the reality is that they are who they are. They are who they have been for years. They're not owned by a particular owner. The people of Green Bay own this franchise, and as a result, they operate differently. You Aaron Rodgers, who's to say that, guess what? You got terrible winters in Green Bay. We all know this. Okay, it gets cold there. It gets cold. All right, I know that because I haven't gone any further than Milwaukee, but damn it, it's close enough. I know it's cold there, okay? So you got terrible winters there. You have no...
You did not look happy.
Man, please. I was partying in the hotel lobby. I didn't leave. That's how bad it was in Minnesota, okay? And I ain't been back since. Ain't going back. Matter of fact, I'm going to make sure it's in my contract not to go to hell back to Minneapolis, Minnesota, unless it's the summertime.
It's a good airport, right? If you have a layover, though.
It's a beautiful airport. Stay in the airport. Don't leave. Don't leave.
Minneapolis.
But here's the deal. When you look at some of the things that have transpired... The bottom line is this, man. The Green Bay Packers are who they've been. But again, getting back to Aaron Rodgers, what kind of social life are you having in Green Bay? You know, you got to have a fiance.
He's engaged now.
Tell me. You got a fiance. Where's she at? I just left
Boulder,
L.A.
Boulder, Colorado. I just left L.A. Well,
whatever.
In L.A.
Listen, L.A.
Spots.
L.A.
She's got a house in Boulder, Colorado.
That too. So it all works. All I'm trying to say to you is that you've gotten to a point where you are exercising, you're entertaining your options. And Green Bay is... I'm saying that people can look at Aaron Rodgers and say, is that what this is all about? And you just pointing the finger at Gutekunst? Is that what this is? Are you trying to tell me if Gutekunst wasn't there and they gave you everything you wanted, you'd still want to be there? The fact that there are those questions and you are leaving them out, dangling in front of all of our eyes, does not make you look good if you are Aaron Rodgers.
Well, look, that's a fair
that
point.
That passive aggressiveness, saying, that ain't working.
I'm not saying... Aaron Rodgers' behavior is perfect. For example,
I didn't say it was either.
He has a chance to win the Super Bowl every year there now, I believe, the way it's set up now. You want to take that shot? Because partly the reason they didn't win the Super Bowl is the coach took the ball out of his hands on fourth down. Partly it's because on third down there was daylight to the end zone and he didn't run, right? I mean that he has to take some of that responsibility. That's just the truth. So it's not like he looks perfect. And but, and this is the key, everyone knows the thing now, Stephen A., that you've been talking about. The issue is respect, and people can relate to that. He's been there forever. He's been highly successful. And when he walks in, they don't want to hear his opinion. And then they move up in the first round to draft his replacement instead of getting him help. Move up in the first round to draft his replacement.
Gutekunst did that.
That's right. And he then, and because it's after a bad year for Aaron Rodgers. And then Rodgers comes out and has the best year of his career, wins MVP.
Yeah. Wait, I want to go back to something he said, though, because you weren't here yesterday. I don't know if you were playing brick or what was going on, but Ryan Clark argued this with him. So Max thinks that if Aaron Rodgers is forced to stay in Green Bay, that they won't win a Super Bowl because he's not going to be into it. Do you actually believe that in terms of respecting the game?
No.
And Ryan saying
no.
that he'll get hurt out there, that there's no shot. If he's
there's
in,
no
he's all in.
There's no way. There's no way. When you show up on the field, you're going to show up to win. Now, there might be something inside of you that hates the thought of people you don't like actually enjoying the winning with you. But that is something that you will eat. I think he has too much respect for the game. I think he has too much respect for his teammates to ever do something like that. And I would never disrespect a professional athlete by intimating that, you know what, they will go out there and tank it because they're bitter, they're upset.
Not what I mean.
So I don't mean, and I know you don't mean tank.
Explain
but I'm just
what
talking about the level of frustration gets to you where it affects your game. I'm saying that I think that he would put forth the due diligence necessary to make sure that doesn't happen because of the people he plays on the field with. And that's what I think will supersede everything else.
I don't mean it exactly like that. Yeah. This is how I mean it. It's a full contact sport, mm-hmm. right? That whole Al Pacino speech in Any Given Sunday, Stephen A., which
Six
sounds
inches.
Cliche.
In front of your face.
But it's true in a full contact sport about who wants it a little more. What I'm saying is it's the Spinal Tap line. This one goes to 11. Well, why don't you just make that 10 and call 11 10? It just goes all the way up. The point is, can you go past 100%?
Mm-hmm.
Can you? And what that really means is, can you tap into that adrenaline, that extra something that's not always available to you when you don't believe it with your heart and soul?
I don't think you and I are qualified to question that about Aaron Rodgers.
My point is, I don't think someone who doesn't want to be there can lead a group of people with that thing that it requires in the NFL to get over the top and win a Super Bowl like what Tom Brady just did in Tampa. I don't think it's going to happen.
Al Pacino,
if you don't want to be there.
We claw with our fingernails for that inch. That's the difference between winning and losing.
Right?
So between living and dying.
Aaron Rodgers can be Aaron Rodgers, but if he's not willing to claw with his fingernails, they ain't going to win.
I got another line for you. This is the business we have chosen. Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh, hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com. Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live. Kyrie Irving is doing his talking on the court, but certainly not off of it. He and the Nets have been fined $35,000 for violating the NBA's media access rules throughout the season. Irving has declined on several occasions to be available for comments either before or after the game. So earlier this season, after a previous fine for violating media access rules, Kyrie posted this on IG. I pray we utilize the fine money for the marginalized communities in need, especially seeing where our world is presently. I am here for peace love, and greatness. So stop distracting me and my team and appreciate the art. We move different over here. I do not talk to pawns. My attention is worth more. Stephen A., what does Kyrie's media issues mean for the Nets?
Well, listen, I think that it's building dissent against the Brooklyn Nets. And I think that what happens is that we all recognize the fact that when healthy, this is the team to beat. Mm-hmm. We all recognize the fact that when James Harden, Kevin Durant, and Kyrie Irving are on the court together, there is no one that should beat them. They should win the NBA championship in all seriousness. I can sit up here and laugh about the Knicks and have a ball, and I'm so proud of what I'm seeing from the New York Knicks. But I was born at night, not last night. I know the Knicks can't mess with these boys.
I love that line.
I know the Knicks can't mess with these boys. I understand that. But I think that what you will have is that you have a situation where it's sad to see Kyrie this way, not really realizing the kind of impact he is having compared to what he could have. And you see a lot of these guys being hit differently. And, you know, you just say to yourself, what the hell are you thinking?
When you say impact, do you mean on the court or off the court?
All of it. All of it. Kyrie Irving is box office. He is a showstopper. This dude is a sensational talent, okay? And he's box office, and he is worthy of you walking through the turnstiles and paying just to see him play. He's that marvelous of a player. And I got news for you. He's not a bad person. His heart is in the right place. I mean, he and I have had butted heads from time to time, and we've had our differences. I know that brother's a good brother. His heart is in the right place. He doesn't mean any harm, but he doesn't understand the harm that he brings to himself. When you sit up there and you defer to people as pawns because they don't think what you think, their belief system might be different from you, or their priorities may be different from you. Did it ever occur to you, Kyrie Irving, that you can afford to have different priorities because your greatness still allows you to step on the court and ball and make tens of millions of dollars per year? Kyrie Irving makes more in 1 year than 99% of the American population would make in their lifetime.
0.9%.
Okay, 99.9%. So, again, forgive us if their priorities might be a little bit different than yours. But in the end, you signed on the dotted line. And what did you sign on the dotted line to do? Not just to play basketball, but to help promote the game of basketball, because that's what facilitates you getting the contracts that you have received. It's amazing to me how these obligations are ignored once you sign on the dotted line and you know you got your money coming. Now you want to prioritize what you want to prioritize. But when you were in pursuit of the bag, or you capitulated. And I remember one time, you know, Max, and I'll give it to you by saying this before I come back later. There's a whole bunch of dudes that show up on draft night, obviously prior to COVID-19. And they show up on draft night. And they had the best outfits, and, you know, the hair was right, and whether it was the tats or anything else, it wasn't as conspicuous and all of this other stuff, because they were trying to get the bag. And there was an image that they were willing to project that was somewhat clean cut because it would facilitate them get paid. And then they got paid. And then they want to go out to the public and go like this. Now, hell with that. Be whatever you want to be, when you want to be, and how you want
to
be. And all I'm saying is this. If you knew there was a certain way you needed to roll in order to get the money. But there's a whole bunch of, there's millions upon millions of people out there that will never be them. And if they tried that, they wouldn't get away with it. So you're projecting that kind of image, and it may work for you, but it's going to come back to bite your successors later on down the line, and the American public that watches you, that your role models to, that want to emulate you, is going to work against them too, because they can't get away with what you can get away with. I wish guys saw that, and they just don't.
We care
or don't care.
We care about Kyrie Irving because he plays basketball. That's the only reason strangers care about Kyrie Irving. That's the reason. We're strangers, right? Like the vast majority of the public, the strangers. And they care about him because he's great at basketball. And he is great at basketball. Kyrie Irving, Stephen A., as you point out, is worth the price of admission. Whatever you paid for that ticket, you go through the you are watching Kyrie Irving, you got your money's worth.
Mm-hmm.
He's coming across as egotistical and that he knows better. Sometimes you might run into a college freshman. They just read a book. That book is everything they know on the subject, but they're convinced that they're experts on the subject. No one else has a point of view. He comes across that way, like a college freshman who just read a book on a topic, right? He knows better. And you could even argue he gives himself an out because, hey, life is so much more important than this game. So if I don't win this game, not a big deal. I got my mind on bigger things. But that is not the way I choose to see this today. That is, I'm not going to kill him for any of that stuff today because I hear something different. I think that a lot of what he's talking is ego protection. And what I see with Kyrie all the time missed, right? All personal reasons. I see a guy in life who's struggling to find something larger than himself that he doesn't have to save him. I don't want to be dramatic, but that's going to help him. That's going to give him some purpose. And so even you listen to the comment, I'm choosing to ignore, you know, I don't talk to pawns and we move different. That's all ego protection stuff. It sounds juvenile to me. What I am listening to is hopefully that money goes to this cause or that cause. In other words, I'll pay so I don't have to talk. And hopefully that he's trying, it seems to me, he's struggling and looking for something in his life bigger than himself. That's what it sounds like to me.
I want to be very careful when I speak on this subject because faith is something that's very important to me, and I think it's very important to other people. I've said it before, my father's side of the family, Muslim, my mother's side, Catholic, okay? So when you talk about ego, I take this very differently in him finding a larger purpose. He's practicing Islam. He's come out and said, I need to protect my peace. There's five pillars. When he's saying how I want to give the fine money, that's alms. That's one of the pillars. So he is committed to something larger than basketball. So I don't think it's ego related at all whatsoever. So if he's trying, if he's on this spiritual path and he's saying, this is how I need to protect my peace, I don't think it's looking down on people.
That's good to point out. So let me just clarify. I don't mean that's the ego protection part. I mean, when you say things like, we move different, you are pawns, that comes across as juvenile. And what I'm saying is I'm choosing not to focus on that because we all go into ego protection at times. Mm-hmm. I'm choosing to focus on what, in fact, you are saying.
I think he's trying to move different.
The reason he's looking for something bigger is because he's struggling right now. That's what it seems like.
Well, first of all, let me tell you something, Molly. Mm-hmm. I respect where you're coming from, and I totally agree with you.
Yeah, and I don't know about Kyrie's intimate, but he's spoken out about that.
Let me say this.
Yeah.
I grew up surrounded by Muslim brothers. Mm-hmm. Half of them raised me. Half of my boys that assisted my family in raising me mm-hmm. are Muslim.
Yeah.
They still my boys to this very mm-hmm. day. I'm very, very familiar with what's going on with Kyrie Irving. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to talk about his business. That's his business. I know what's rolling with him in that regard and Steven Jackson and various others that are really, really tight with him. I know what's going on with a whole bunch of brothers in the league. And that's for them to tell, not me, in and out of the league. What I'm saying is that you signed up for something.
Mm-hmm.
Your obligations that you embraced, mm-hmm. you have an obligation to live up to and conduct yourself in fashion. And then when we bring in faith and when we bring in religion, we certainly don't endorse looking down on other people, mm-hmm. calling them pawns, mm-hmm. minimizing them in such a way because they don't think like you think. Mm-hmm. The reality is that what Max said about basketball and how most people wouldn't care about what Kyrie has to say is absolutely correct. That's not a knock against Kyrie. They wouldn't care about what I had to say if I wasn't on ESPN. They wouldn't care about what Max had to say if he wasn't on ESPN and doing. They wouldn't care about a lot. They wouldn't care about LeBron. So it's not a knock against him. But the point is that along the way, as you march in your faith, in your truth, in your belief, and all of those other things, it's imperative that you don't forget what your obligations are, particularly when they are voluntary. We saw this man.
But it appears the team's okay with it.
I understand that, but they can be okay with it. What are they going to say? They signed him to $141 million. They ain't going to say, and not only that, he's Kevin Durant's boy, and the sun shines and sets with Kevin Durant in Brooklyn. Anything he wants, he's going to get. So let's understand, that could all be smoke and mirrors. But in the end, Molly, mm-hmm. what you're talking about is, if you have signed up for these obligations, the man was off for 9 months, played 3 weeks, and said, I just needed a break.
Stephen A, I want to talk to that right now.
I'm just saying,
because he's struggling, right? Why wouldn't you take all that time off if you're not dealing with big things?
I'm not saying that he wasn't struggling. I'm not even minimizing it.
Yeah.
I'm saying that you can't expect people out here, when tens of millions of people lost their jobs, they've been furloughed, they've been laid off, they haven't gotten their jobs back, there's a global pandemic, people are dying, and his heart's in the right place because he cares about those people. He cares about all of that. And his philanthropy is not to be questioned because Kyrie gives and Kyrie cares. My point is, when those people are struggling, if you're struggling, the attitude for the viewing public that ultimately helps pay you because they patronize the NBA brand, they're saying, we got to go to work. You got to go to work. But you got to go to work.
You always say that superstars should receive different treatment. And if this allows him to have peace and be a better man and be a better teammate, so be it. What does that have to do with other people not getting paid?
Because, Molly, he's not showing up to work and doing his job. How many times has he had off? And then not only that, part of your responsibility is to promote the brand. Why would the NBA fine them? Because they're saying, excuse me, you have a job to do that you're not doing.
I totally understand what you're saying.
That's the whole point.
Because that is part of his job. But it just seems like he's worked something out with the team, and they accept where he is.
I'd like to say something real quick. When I say struggling, that doesn't mean someone's bad. It means they're dealing with things in their life. It could be internal with them. It could be with their family, whatever.
Everyone's dealing with stuff.
Life is a struggle, right? So when people go through those times, you talk about faith.
Yeah.
I can think of athletes who, it can be a faith, it can be a cause. Those two things can be related. But when something is larger than oneself and they can attach themselves to it, then they're capable sometimes of doing more than they could do if they feel like it's all them on their own. And what I'm trying to say about Kyrie right now is, rather than focus on the negative, which is he said some things that I felt were immature and that kind of puffed him up and tried to put others down.
The Pons comment wasn't good.
Yeah, but not just that, but also we move different and all this kind of stuff. Instead of focusing on that, I want to focus on the other thing where hopefully the fine money goes to good. It seems to me he's still in a situation where he is struggling. And he's trying, and I appreciate that.
Fair enough. If you think for one second that the Brooklyn Nets don't sit back sometimes scratching their heads at practices, at some of the stuff the media complains about. I'm not covering the team, so I'm not complaining about them. But talk to the people that cover the Nets, okay, and hear what they say. If you think for one second that the Brooklyn Nets are okay with that, I've got news for you. They're not. It's just that, again, in today's day and age, when you've committed the investment that they've
got
committed,
leverage.
He's got leverage. You got to work with it.
I'm being told we got to go. But yeah, I think it's important to bring up all the different perspectives. I hear you both.
Hey, hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, root, root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture X Card. Earn unlimited 2X miles in everything you buy and turn everyday purchases into extraordinary trips. Plus, receive premium travel benefits, like access to over 1,300 airport lounges and a $300 annual credit for bookings through Capital One Travel. Unlock a whole new world of travel with a Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
We're not going to go there. Grizzly star Ja Morant told Shaq on TNT that he thinks he's a top five point guard in the NBA. Simple as that. The point guard position in the association loaded with talent, including Chris Paul, who turns 36 years young today. Happy birthday to him. So that got us thinking, who are the top five point guards in the NBA? Stephen A., You know, I love a good list, especially a Stephen's A-list. I know this isn't one, so I'm not going to get all the hoopla. Yep. I prefer you to be standing the whole thing, but I'll let you sit this time.
Right.
Well, first of all, I'm not picking LeBron James. I'm not picking LeBron James because I'm not picking forwards for this list.
That's good, because Max said he's on the decline yesterday. You missed that, too.
Oh, God. Here's the deal. I got Luka at number 5, averaging 28, 9, and 8. I've got CP3 at number 4.
You're going too fast. Luka 5.
Luka 5. Yep. CP3, number 4.
Okay.
Damian Lillard, number 3.
Okay.
James Harden, number 2.
Okay.
All right, because we're ignoring injuries and all of that stuff. We just talk about what we've seen from people this season. Mm-hmm. And obviously, Steph Curry, number 1.
Well, number 5, I'll put CP3. I think he's number 4. I have Dame, and Steph has to be above Dame because Dame has, you know, carried a big load this year, started to tail off. Steph stayed hot. James Harden is as good a point guard as has ever existed this year until he got hurt. He was already great. He took his game to another level. And the reason I do have LeBron James, even if he says he's in decline, even a LeBron in decline is better than everyone else. Maybe. But they're going to have to prove it in the playoffs. Harden will have to prove it in the playoffs to have me put him ahead of LeBron. Mm-hmm. Here's why I put LeBron on and not Luka, Stephen A. You said you're not going to include forwards. Luka's a forward. Because I'm taking guys who initiate the offense, who are the primary ball handlers, playmakers, and who guard the other teams, at least one player in the other team's backcourt. LeBron, I've seen shut down a prime D Rose
for,
as an MVP.
For a player two.
No, I've
for
seen
a player two.
I've seen LeBron shut down elite guards in playoff games. That's not Luka. Now, Harden's not a great defender, but he does defend guards. Everyone on my list defends backcourt players routinely, initiates their offense, and is the primary ball handler playmaker. I think LeBron James is not only the greatest point guard today, but in fact, he is the guy who has replaced Magic as the greatest point guard of all time. If you're making your all-time list, you put LeBron at the point.
Well, listen, if you're doing that, I'm not going to knock you for that. I understand it. It's just that when they were looking after they lost Rondo, they went out and they got Dennis Schroeder for a reason. You understand? Because he's essentially your point guard and somebody to take the pressure off LeBron when you don't want LeBron hampered with those obligations all the time. Whereas when you look at Rick Carlisle in Dallas, he said, I came to my senses when I interviewed him and asked him this question. He said, what the hell were we doing, Luka's rookie year? What were we doing that was wrong? We didn't put the ball in his hands and let him run our team. He's our point guard, his exact words. And so when I look at it from that perspective, that's the only reason I don't have LeBron on the list. That's it.
Yep.
Okay? I look at James Harden. He's a scorer. Remember, Kyrie's supposed to be a point guard, but he's your off guard this year because James Harden is a point guard. So you see what I'm saying? We understand it. So, again, we know who the talent is, and we know what they do. But I'm just talking about in terms of this year, what you're seeing from people who actually are listed as playing the position and running the offense, both, not just running the offense, but playing the position and running the offense. You designate them as your point guard. Steph Curry is the greatest shooter God ever created. And because he's such a marksman, combined with his extraordinary movement without the ball, combined with his ball handling skills, AI, Allen Iverson, Matt Kellerman, called me the other morning at 8 o'clock in the morning.
AI doing up to 8 in the morning.
You'd be surprised. My brother's doing all right. But let me tell you this right now. He gets up. He said, Steph is different. he was all stuttering. Steph is different. He's just different. Different. I mean, damn. Because that's how you marvel at the greatness of this dude. And he loves, remember, AI loves Russell Westbrook. But we're seeing something. This is a one. We talk about once in a generation. We have never, ever seen a Steph Curry. Ever.
But guys.
Ever.
We
have never seen it. And then you got Dame, and we know what a clutch player Dame is, and James Harden, Luka, CP3 is having an MVP, top 2 MVP candidate caliber year.
I don't agree with that.
So I don't know how you can't agree with that.
Top 5, arguably top 3. Look, I'll say this. You're giving Harden the short shrift here. Harden does not shoot it like Steph, as you said. No one in history ever shot it like Steph.
Right.
And Harden has fallen flat deep in the playoffs too often. But right up until that point, Harden has been MVP caliber every single year. And unlike Steph, he's the one dude this year. Tell me even one other player who ever lived who can run your offense like Harden, who has the court vision of Harden, the judgment of James Harden, the passing ability of James Harden with the ability to score from anywhere, get to the paint, free throws, three-point shot. Who, tell me one other player who does every single thing on Harden level. If he had succeeded already deep in the playoffs, it would be a wrap. But as is Stephen A., I think that Steph Curry's shooting does not. James Harden took a much inferior team and came that close to beating Steph game seven.
Stay with me, because I want to be very, very careful about what I'm saying here. Because I'm not you. I believe in James Harden. You like him. You like what you've seen, but you point out what he's done in the playoffs.
Right.
I'm not as hard about him in the playoffs the way that you are, because I've seen what he's been up against, and I didn't see him completely tank and fall apart only one year when he didn't show up in the game six against San Antonio. Having said all of that, this is what I would tell you. Max Kellerman, I watch Brooklyn. And to watch the game today and what they record as an assist. I mean, I've seen them give dudes assists. I pass it to Max. Max passes it to Molly, and Molly shoots and scores, and I get the assist.
Hockey.
But you're the one that passed it to her. Mm-hmm. You're like, what is this?
Hockey assist.
And then you see them playing, just toying with competition. Because I've seen James Harden get assists when all he did was dribble the ball past half court and throw it to one
wing
or the other.
But,
and yet,
Russell Westbrook's crushing it with the assist.
I'm with you, but his team was winning. His team was winning when it was just him and KD. His team was winning when it was just him.
Well, he's up there. That's why I got him
his two. His team was winning when it was just him.
I got him
no matter
two.
Who they were playing. And as soon as he's out and it's KD,
I got him as two.
He needs to come back.
I got him as two. I just gave you why he ain't won.
Right.
That's Steph Curry.
LeBron for me.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
Throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.